Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 110, Bloody Vengeance for a Rock.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
Blue Onyx.
Anvil.
Folks, I learned a very important lesson last night. When you go out drinking, don't be screaming your head off the day before an actual recording of a podcast show.
You weren't even screaming that loud. Shut up.
I wasn't screaming out loud. You kept telling me to shut up.
I had to keep telling you to shut up because it was 11:30 in my neighborhood.
So, those douchebags...
Remember, white people have guns.
Yeah, but those assholes next door with the motorcycles were kept going...
During the afternoon?
Yeah, in the afternoon. He only does that when I'm trying to sleep for the overtime. Overtime, whatever.
And how does he know when that happens?
He just does it. He just does.
Anvil, do you text his neighbor to tell him that he's sleeping overnight?
Dear Kevin... Blue pissed me off today. Go right next to his window and rev your motorcycle as loud as it goes. And tell his mom she's beautiful.
Oh.
That way she walks around the house jumping around, all excited because somebody thinks she's beautiful.
Okay, great.
And then she uses a trampoline.
No, that's called a power drill.
Anyways. Oh, look, he's checked back okay.
Mine.
Yours?
Mine.
Yours?
Okay.
Well, okay. Maybe I can tell a little bit of a story, because the band that we are going to be talking about today... Had it not been for them, this whole thing wouldn't exist, meaning Boston Bash Brigade.
Really?
Really. Because back in 2006, I was kind of getting into the Japanese music scene, but I only knew like 3 or 4 bands. And one day I'm just looking up some of the groups that are coming to the South by Southwest Festival, and I noticed a couple of the artists from Japan, one of which is this band here called Tsushima Mirai. They're 3 girls from, I believe, Chiba Prefecture in Japan. And they had one of their songs for free to download on the South by Southwest Festival website called Ebihara Shinji. I turned on this to it and really liked it. Went onto their MySpace. And that's when I heard their song, Tea Time Ska. And that just changed everything for me. Like, I wanted to know more about this band. So I looked up more info on them, got connected with a bunch of other groups that they were affiliated with, and it grew bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's when I realized, the Japanese music scene is something that maybe we should be looking more closely at. So I had just started over at Salem State College and saw that there was a radio station. I walked up to them, is anyone there interested in doing like a Japanese radio show? And they said, well, if you're interested, come in and do some training. And originally I was kind of a little bit frightened about the idea of doing radio by myself. So I gave a call over to Blue Onyx and said, hey, would you be interested in doing a radio show with me? And he was like,
sure.
Who are you?
The person that I knew from back in the day.
Yes.
At the campfire.
Yep. Because we had re-met over at Norse Community College.
Yep.
And then they brought me in on it, time to time.
We dragged him in, kicking and screaming.
And then they told me there were going to be women. And I ran there. Yeah. I beat them all there.
But Tsushima Mirai was one of the first famous fans of No Borders, No Race. And when I got to meet them at the Suicide Girls Burlesque show, they knew who I was right away. That was the only reason why I went to this burlesque show was because Tsushima Mirai were performing there.
Not because the Suicide Girls were there.
It was kind of boring.
What do you mean it was boring?
Burlesque show was kind of boring, and it sucked because there wasn't even any, like,
nudity? Cool...
Exactly.
There wasn't nudity at a Suicide Girl...
They taped up their...
Yeah, that's what they usually do, but it's still good enough.
Yeah, but it kind of got a little bit dull, so we left, like, 15 minutes after it had started, and... bolted. But Tsushima Mirai was one of the big reasons why I started No Borders, No Race. And then around that time, I met Pandalicious from Anime Club. I heard that she did a website that was interested in maybe doing some reviews for it, and she brought me on. Later on, she says, hey, would you be interested in doing an online version of No Borders, No Race? I said, sure, but we should call it something totally different. And I thought up a Boston Bastard Brigade, and...
Thank you.
Here we are.
You know how many looks we get when we, you know, say what the name of our show is?
It's either a...
Wow, that's an awesome name.
Half look, or the... that's a great name.
Or my personal favorite is... No. Seriously, what's the name of your show?
Yeah. No. Seriously, look at the business card.
But hey, we live in a society right now where Fuck You can be a number one hit. Fucked Up can be a critically acclaimed band. Bastard isn't really that bad of a word if you think about it.
People don't even understand what the hell it is anyways.
Right. But anyway, their new album just came out called Giving Blood, and this is their first on their own label called Mojo Records. And for me, while I was listening to it, I couldn't help but think that this was a big callback to their Pregnant Fantasy era, with a little bit of their more current pop-punk style into it.
Yeah.
Like, I love Depression. It was such a strong opener, and it's got that sort of, like, espionage type of beat that climaxes in the chorus. I swear, I think Mari actually breaks the microphone with her screams at that song.
Really?
Yeah.
Such and a small girl can break people's eardrums.
Yeah. You can't forget about Yayoi the bassist.
She almost killed somebody last time when I was at the show. I mean, literally, she's just like, she kicked over her head, right?
Yep.
And then put her foot down, and then the bass swung around. And I mean, literally, there was a guy that was in the front of the stage that was like sitting there like this, and he went like this like half the time because the bass was like the bass head was almost gonna freaking knock him the hell out. And I was like, holy crap, she's gonna kill somebody.
Given how hard this band plays, when I saw him perform with the Suicide Girls, Mizui, the drummer, she broke her bass drum.
Really?
She, like, smashed it.
Fantastic.
But what I love about Tsushima Mirai is they're one of those types of bands that they could blend, like adorable-sounding lyrics with some of the most hardcore guitar riffs and drum beating and such. Like, I love Sky High because that's a really good example of how good they are at that sort of stuff. With, like, because it's got, like, this speed metal type of feel. And then you got, like, the cutesy lyrics sprinkled all over it. And then you got a song called French Toast Rendezvous, and food plays a big role in the music of Tsushima Mirai. They probably write some of the best songs about food ever.
Well, their name has food in it.
Isn't it basically food? Isn't their name about food?
No, it's, Mamirei is, Yayoi's last name.
Yeah, but sushi. Sushi's food.
Not you can't deny it.
It is, but not with the T in the beginning.
Still food to me.
Tsushi Mamirei.
No, still food.
Now, one of the things I was surprised about this album was they actually revisited one of their older tracks from their Love and Peace and Bow demo called Na Mello. And it's a song that deals with a daughter realizing that her fisherman father is never going to be returning from his trip because he perished at sea. It's a very sad song, but you can kind of get the feel of anger in the daughter's voice that her father has left her alone to basically fend for herself. And then you've got like a song called The Final Song, which is a 9-minute track called Giving Blood Song. And it's very much in vein of their Pregnant Fantasy title track. And it deals with infidelity and it's more spoken word based.
Yeah.
And it does play a lot more with like the noise rock formula in this song. I was very impressed with this album. I've always been impressed with Tsushima Mirai, and I've always loved their music. What were your thoughts on this album when you were listening to it?
It definitely was very interesting. I mean, I know that they don't have that whole Powerpuff Girl thing going for them anymore, really.
Right.
But for the most part, this was actually a pretty decent album. I feel that you know, if you give it a listen, or at least, see, that's what I feel like right now with music. Sometimes it's not the first time you hear the song, but then the second or the third time you hear the song, and you're like, you know what, this is a damn good song. Sometimes it just doesn't take the first time to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doesn't always happen that way, but I feel that nowadays it's like you have to know what the musician is trying to say before you actually get into the music and whatnot, and that's what, you know, that's what they put out. But I feel that the riffs and everything like that were pretty strong, and they're a crazy group of girls right there. They've got so much energy that comes and pours off of the stage. So this album is going to make it better when they're on the stage too.
They were still energetic after the fact too, giving us hugs and everything.
Yeah.
Now, what I like is that now that they have their own record label, it feels like they don't have to hold back anymore, which is why I like this album so much. They, like, push everything to the brink of destruction. And that's what I think Given Blood might be, like, their strongest album yet. And they've been going at it for, like, 12 years, and they just get stronger and stronger as the years progress.
Yeah.
So, Anvil, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it.
Huh?
Baby.
No, I'd say that's a no. So, for my grade, I give this album a 4.9 out of 5.
Yeah.
Actually, like you said, we listened to it before the show last week.
Mm-hmm.
How would I not have a chance to listen to it if I was on the show last week?
Because you were watching the Red Sox team at the same time.
Anyways. Yeah, I'll give this album a 4.2.
Okay.
Excellent. Yeah.
It's my turn to talk, right?
Yes.
Oh. God damn. Truthfully, I really enjoyed the album. The home run that they hit. No, I'm kidding. No, it's a good album all around. I didn't see too much, that I had a fault with it. And truthfully, if you can get me to stop, looking at the Red Sox for about 5 seconds, then, you've got to be pretty good. So I'll go with them with 4.9 out of 5.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And Blue, that is not fair to do to somebody.
Yes, it is. It is fair.
Yes, it is.
You keep them pulling up the Suicide Girls.
Oh, yep, that is fair.
That's torture.
Yeah.
Not if you want me to talk properly. I'm like, and it's, oh my god.
I remember the story that Mari told us about her being kidnapped by one of the lesbians in Suicide Girls?
I'm not surprised, I do remember that one, but I'm still not surprised, because she is cute. She's very cute.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I wanted to give her a hug and run out the door with her, but for the most part...
Yeah.
I mean, that's the good thing about, small people. It's just like, you always just give them a nice big hug, and you're just like, oh, and they're like, oh, my feet are off the ground, help me! And then you just run away with them.
Or like our friend Pink Taco, she wraps her arms around your neck and holds her tight so you can lift her up.
I think the hug was done, 5 minutes ago, and you're still walking around with her, and you're like, okay, alright, that's it, I give up. And then you fall over.
I know when we went to our barbecue, I looked at her, I'm like, alright, if you're going to continue holding on, put your feet in my pocket, so that way, my arm doesn't fall
off.
Yeah,
you got stirrups right there.
Yeah. But yeah, Sissy Mamiya are truly one of the great bands from Japan. And by the way, if you haven't read it yet, I posted a review of this great movie called Live from Tokyo. It's about the Japanese underground music scene. And it's really amazing what a lot of the bands out there are just pulling
out of
their heads.
Yeah.
There's this one band, I can't remember the name of it, but I talked about them specifically, that somehow makes music using fluorescent lights.
Ooh.
That is impressive, sir.
I'm sorry. Music? Shiny lights?
Well, I mean, the electricity sound and whatnot. That's pretty badass. Yeah. That's kind of hard. Because what it is, it's like saying if you have a xylophone or something like that, and you're able to actually know the sound effect from that.
Now, does it sound almost like a synthesizer?
Something like that. It could be.
Yeah. Optrum. That was the name of the band. It's crazy. The lead singer of the group has wearing this weird skeletal bird mask. I think Mushroom Head might have worn something like it, but it was really crazy. And then you got this one other band called DVD, where it's got two drummers and there's a third guy who's creating video game sounds and will actually play guitar using a Wiimote.
That's pretty badass.
But no guitar, just the Wiimote itself. He would actually make the sounds of the guitar with each of the buttons on the controller.
That's impressive.
It is very impressive. Shall we move on to the video games?
Video games! Alright, what are we talking about first here?
Well, why don't we talk about Rock of Ages?
Alright, Rock of Ages. Now, and not like Rock of Ages with your, you know,
Broadway musical type of thing. Don't, it's not a video game based on the Broadway musical.
Yes, it is.
Not as much as you think.
You play the character of Sisyphus, who is the one that's forced to always bring the boulder up the hill, and it rolls back down, up, down.
And of course, you have that little demon poking him in the arse with a pitchfork, so
yep.
Every time he gets poked in the butt, he drops a thing, and he finally figures out that, hey, I can actually go and start and breaking down the door and escape from hell, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole concept is to roll this big-ass stone as fast as you possibly can without, you know, damaging it as much as possible to take out either a door at the end of a puzzle or other strange, interesting things as well.
Right, because behind the door is, like the main boss in the level, and then you splat them out.
Which is funny because you got the two that I remember playing against was Agamemnon.
Yeah.
You know, if you watch the movie Troy, he was played by Brian Cox. Yeah. So all I wanted to... I just wanted him to just go... Aah! Just the whole time screaming. And then the other one was Vlad the Impaler. Uh-huh. That was pretty interesting. But also they did make it funny because when you killed him, he just screamed like a little girl. And
yeah.
I jumped the ball up and landed right on top of him. Just to make fun of it.
And then you got Leonidas. And they do make fun of 300 in it.
Yes, they do.
You can't kill Leonidas. He's a man.
Well, apparently not on this one, because when it does, he also screams like a little girl. They all scream like little girls.
Yeah.
Give him a minute, he died like a pimp in that movie.
He doesn't die like a pimp in this game.
Yeah, he wasn't grabbing somebody's ass. Anyways.
It was... The first thing that made me think of Rock of Ages was Monty Python.
Yeah, it does have a Monty Python type of texture to it, because like when you sit there and the game opens up, it has kind of like the crappy little cutout characters running across the screen and all that other stuff, and you're,
yep.
you're like, is this supposed to be Monty Python's? But it does kind of have a puzzle based type thing, but I mean it's pretty badass with the whole setup, because when you're rolling, you have the stone rolling and whatnot, or you're able to place, you know, certain objects where you want to and it's an interesting game all around. It's just,
and
it's crazy.
It's good strategy too, because you got to figure out, okay, where's his boulder gonna be, and you got to like put up the different traps and animals and catapults to try to make sure that he doesn't break down your door.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where you're trying to stop the other one from doing anything, and I mean, you can put catapults, you can put everything and anything in its way just to slow it down and also damage the ball before it goes and smacks into the building. Like, I've noticed a couple of times when I was going down, I noticed that my rock got pretty weak and
yep.
I was only able to do minor damage to the door. And it takes a while to get used to with how the ball rolls and whatnot, but once you get it, it's pretty badass.
And depending on how much... how many times you play each level, you build up a sort of strategy as to which path you take, because when you play, I believe it's Charlemagne,
yeah.
or when you play against Charlemagne, you'll notice, like, okay, there's some shortcuts here and there.
Wait
and
a second. You were able to buy the whole thing. I didn't buy the whole game. I only got to play the demo, so up yours.
Okay.
Mister, I like Rock of Ages.
I do like Rock of Ages. I played it at E3, and I was laughing my ass off while playing it.
Yeah, okay.
So... I wrote a fuller review of this, which will be in the next issue of the Esh magazine, but for my grade for this episode, I give it a 4.7 out of 5.
I'll be with 4.3. It did have some kind of quirky things, you know, that kept knocking me off the side of the thing, but I don't know if that was just because it was the demo or whatnot, but it was a pretty fun game and whatnot, but... It's if you like Monty Python, you might like this game because of how the setup of the game is.
Right, it looks like Terry Gilliam's cartoons.
Exactly.
Right. Well, next on our list is another game from one of our favorite developers out there, Twisted Pixel Games. The Gunstringer.
Powered by Beard.
Yes, take that. No, your move.
Unreal.
And this is a game I also got to play at both PAX East and E3. You're like a gunslinger.
You know what? Just rub it in. You know what? Rub it in. Mister, I got to go to E3, and I got to go to PAX East. Why don't I just go and sit on top of you and take a big giant crap? Thanks.
There's always next year, dude.
No. It's now or never. I kill you.
So you're a gunslinger. You're brought back from the dead. No, vengeance.
You're not just a gunslinger. You are a puppet on strings.
Yes.
Okay, just let's get that straight so everybody can understand the concept like of gunstringer.
Yes. It's like one of those classic Howdy Doody shows.
Yeah.
With the puppets. And you're seeking vengeance on the ones who put you in the ground, like the Wavy Tube Man.
I hate him.
You hated the Wavy Tube Man?
I don't like him. Wavy Tube Man is not a good guy.
He does work at the gynecologist's office.
Well, he was a whore. But for the most part...
He's my cousin.
Yeah, exactly.
Now...
Top hat and all.
What? Really? How did you feel the controls were in this game?
Well, I felt like when I was trying to set my character up a little bit, it went a bit too fast. It said, here, put your hands to the side, and then as soon as I put my hands to the side, it calculated, and I didn't get into the actual shadow of the character, so I was like, yes. Ah, crap. So when I was trying to move, which kind of sucks because you have to keep, like, both hands up, so you're like this with one hand, and then you're like that with the other one trying to control the character, which is, alright, kind of cool, but then the other thing is you gotta go like this, you gotta pull your finger back to make it look like you're shooting a gun.
Yeah.
But I did find that it was pretty impressive with the whole concept of, if you're able to put the sight over the character, it highlights it, and then when you highlight a couple more, you could just do the thing and it will actually shoot for you. Although yep. I do like that, I would have liked the concept to have go bang, 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 done. You know, I would have liked that myself, but we're not there yet in that technology. But we're getting there.
Yeah, we're almost getting there. Now, you didn't have a chance to play the other level, and in this one, you do more of a side scroller, and you can actually punch the other characters in this mode.
Yeah.
And then you get into a little punching fight with one of, like, the mini-bosses in it, which then leads to a very, very awkward moment. Lumberjack on Gator Love action.
What the... Okay. Lumberjack. I understand a lumberjack. I mean, and to bring back Monty Python, lumberjack and a cross-dresser. That's fine. Okay, I'm cool with that. I'm used to that one.
Mm-hmm.
But lumberjack... And crocodile, you said? Crocodile. You sure it's not an alligator?
Well,
it could be an alligator, because those rednecks, you know, they like their reptiles and stuff like that. But not a lumberjack. I haven't seen a lumberjack. And it just doesn't sound right.
What I love about this game is sometimes you see the audience reaction, and you just see, like, the people going, what's that on stage? Huh? And then you see one guy going, and his wife looks at him and slaps him across the face.
Well, that's what you get for powered by beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. But it's a good, you know, it's a very interesting game, and I can't wait until we get our hands on the actual game itself and not just the demo, so we can actually try it a little bit more.
Now, when we talked about Fruit Ninja, I mentioned that you're going to get a free copy of Fruit Ninja when you buy Gunstringer.
Yeah.
So you get a good two for the price of one here when that comes out.
Yeah, and do we know the price range of this game?
It's going to be $39.99.
See, now that's better. That's a respectable game. That is respectable. I like that.
$85.41.
Not so respectable. No.
That's more Japanese price for video games.
In yen.
No, well, yeah, in yen.
Walmart.
$85.41. For Madden.
I don't know. Like, I went out to buy Madden, but my invisible video game system.
What game was $85.41?
It was random. Okay. But Walmart adds, you know, like 1 cent and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yes, dude, I went out and bought Madden, sat there and looked at the box. I love you, Madden. I will never play you. I will sit here and rub the plastic till it burns off.
Yeah. Now, what I liked about Gunstringer this time around is that a lot of the past Twisted Pixel games have been known to be extremely challenging. Like, pull your hair out of your head, frustrating in some places.
Yeah, I've had to walk away from the console a couple times, but...
But so far, from Gunstringer, from what I played here, from playing at the other conventions, it seems to be enough of a good challenge without it, like... collapsing an aneurysm while playing.
Cauterizing an aneurysm, you mean?
Cauterizing? I meant to say causing an aneurysm.
Oh, okay.
Why would you want to cut?
I had a little bit of a cough, and that happened in between while I was speaking.
Well, whose fault is that?
It's my fault.
Exactly.
Nah.
That's me ringtones now.
But yeah. I feel like that this title could have the potential to be the best Xbox 360 title of 2011.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give the demo a 4.5 out of 5. But the demo itself, I'm not counting what I've played in the past of this game, but the demo itself, I give a 4.5 out of 5.
Right now, seeing that I didn't get to play the whole thing, 4.0. Yeah.
I didn't like the game.
Okay. Anyways.
Hey, you don't let me watch. Shit. Nobody gave me a chance to play the game. No.
No, we had to watch The Conspirator.
Which we didn't finish, so, you know, that's a conspiracy right there.
We're working on it. Shut
you
up.
You guys are the conspirators.
Okay,
oh,
fine.
Set you up.
So, let me ask you something. You've played the first two Death Spank demos, right?
Yes.
There's
sadly.
There's the new one that just came out.
I know, and I tried it because I was thinking that it was something else.
You gotta say, dude, Death Spank is a total douchebag. I mean, what he does to the damsels in distress.
I was talking to a cow for a whole half hour going, why the hell am I doing this?
I didn't know you were a ballet dancer. Moo, you're right. That was racist of me.
I was sitting there like, why? Why am I playing this? And then I kept on getting, well, flusterclucked and then raped and whatever, pillaged at the same time while trying to fight these orcs or whatever the hell they are.
Yep.
It was
trying to help the orphans.
Yeah, I didn't get that far in the game because I was kind of like, I just got to the point where I threw my controller across the room, walked over, turned off my console altogether, changed to the TV because I was like, what the hell is this? I was like, if anybody enjoys this, they must just have a lack of common sense of this game is just fucking stupid. It's just stupid.
Well, you see, I grew up on The Tick. So
I grew up on The Tick. I grew up on the Freakazoid, the Animaniacs, all that other stuff. I understand that. This game is just ridiculously stupid. I forgot to mention Ren and Stimpy, Beavis and Butthead, all that other fun stuff.
Yes.
But for the most part, and Rocko's Modern Life. Yep. But for the most part, this game has gone below that. It is, I call this like, maybe it's not 6 feet underground. It's in the freaking core of our planet because of how crappy it is. Yep. I don't like it. I mean, great, the graphics are alright. Running around in circles is just fantastic, but this game is just...
The weaponry is actually pretty good in the game, too. It's very easy to use everything.
Why did I keep dying, then?
I don't know.
Why did I keep... No, just explain that to me. Why did I keep dying, then? Was I not button-mashing a lot fast enough?
Maybe.
Because you know how fast I can
button-mash. I know you can button-mash pretty fast, dude. I was using, like, two different weapons at once.
I was using the crossbow, I was using the sword, I was using the shield to block everything, and even with blocking, I kept getting killed.
Okay.
And how the hell are you supposed to put the health back in the guy when he's sitting there walking around, like, the skulls are like...
There's the potion.
Oh, the friggin' potion.
Potion.
Again, see, that's what pisses me off. There's nothing laying around that you could run up, grab it, and it will just go...
What you do is you push the... When you get it, it's like the right... You push right on, like, the bottom left control...
D-pad?
Yes.
No, too much work for me. No.
Because I like Death Spank. I always laugh at the games. It's from the same dudes who brought us Swarm this past year as well.
I give him Swarm, but Death Spank, go to hell. Just, I don't like the guy. I don't like him.
All right.
He is not a likable character in my point of view.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give my grade a 4.2 out of 5 for The Baconing, because I did enjoy the trial of this. Somewhere down the line, I'm going to like put down the money, buy all three Death Spank games, but I have a lot on my plate at the moment, so...
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Your plate was empty. You ate everything in it.
Well, there's going to be more morsels coming up within the next week that I'll be having.
Yeah.
Yes. So, all right, what's your number grade?
I'll give it a respectable 1.2.
Okay.
My wallet's better.
Yeah. Aw.
Mine was actually made out of a cow.
Now, odds are, I know you're going to shit on this game, too. Ugly Americans Apocalypse Ageddon.
Sounds like a duck game.
Let me get a drink. Go ahead, explain.
Dude, so, the whiskey.
Oh, that's later on tonight, Mike.
More hell than usual is breaking loose, so the main characters of the popular Comedy Central series have to team up to kill demons, man-birds, zombies, and other strange creatures. And it's kind of got that sort of look above style of gameplay. Made me think of a little bit of the recent title Gatling Gears with the way you shoot with the way you shoot the weapons.
It reminded me of the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game where you'd have to, like, the background would not move and whatnot, or it was moving. Or actually, what's that other one there that we liked with the movie with the kid and the girl and the yeah.
The Wizard?
No. What the? No. We recently talked about it this morning because one of the characters from Conspirator was in the game.
Oh, Scott Pilgrim?
Thank you!
Like
it
the
was
movie?
A lot. It was a lot like Scott Pilgrim except in the 3D fashion.
Yeah.
But it looked like cheap, very cheap graphics.
Well, it was made to look like the TV show, and I thought they did a great job with the whole overall look.
Hold on. So when they're playing the video part, were they supposed to be sketchy, like, when they talk? Like, usually I thought when I watched the cartoon...
No. I'm actually pissed off at the fact that they didn't do any full motion video.
Yeah, they didn't do full motion video. They did, like little increments of, like, their movements, and I was just
and
like...
And I hate it when people do that. And it is bullshit when they do that, because I know that they have the extra cast to actually animate the whole thing. I mean, it's a Comedy Central game. They have the proper animators to do this right.
For the most part.
But I like Ugly Americans. I'm a huge fan of the show. I think it's one of the more funnier cartoons to come out in America these past couple of years. Up there with, like, Bob's Burgers and Archer.
Bob's Burgers. This is Melissa. Yes, I like Bob Burgers.
Would you like to try a burger of the day? The Child Molester? It comes with candy.
Oh, great.
Thanks. Now when I get home tonight, I'm gonna have to, go on demand and watch some Bob's Burger.
It is. I do love Bob's Burgers. I can't wait for it to come back on Fox this season.
I know.
But I've enjoyed so far what I've seen in Apocalypse Again. I'm gonna be giving a more full review this week on the B3 website. So far, I can take off some points for the repetitiveness of some of it. So far, I give it a 3.4 out of 5.
I give it taco. Really bad taco.
Taco?
Mm-hmm.
I give it crap on steak. Because that's what it was. It was not that good. I mean, for the whole concept of the game. I mean, I played as the military guy. Who's the military
guy? Grimes.
Yeah, I played as the military guy, Grimes. And I mean, I was able to get to that one point. And then when I got over to, like, near the end of what I thought was the end of it, I just kept on getting swarmed by zombies and just overkilled. So I was not too happy about that game.
It's better to play with four people. Or, actually, you can actually play this game co-op mode on Xbox Live. And it's a lot more fun that way.
Yeah.
Granted, like, the more players you have, there are, like, a few more zombies each time, depending on how many players are on the screen at once. But it's a lot easier if you got three people tagging along with you and shooting up these zombies and other creatures.
I'll give it a 2.
Now, Anvil, it's time for you to enter your realm.
You sure?
Yes. You
sure?
Yes.
Very you sure, Blue?
Okay. Go ahead.
Blue's wearing blue?
Yes.
Yeah!
Alright, so where do I start off?
You don't.
Okay.
You just start off wherever
you
want.
Alright, let's start off with the Patriots. What the F?
What do you mean?
We got...
Whoa, wait, ladies.
The Detroit Lions.
Excuse me. I sports. I know more. You shush.
Duh.
The Patriots just ended preseason, and the duck over here has his panties in a bunch.
They just...
Sucked? I will get you in a minute, sir. Excuse me, just give me 1 minute, sir. Thank you. Now, what he does not comprehend is preseason isn't about win or lose.
Some of the other teams seem to be about it.
Who's going to get fired?
They suck.
Especially the Oakland Raiders.
Can I please finish?
Thank you.
Can I finish?
So, the aspect of preseason is building your team for the regular season. Seeing who's going to stay, seeing who's going to go. I saw what I needed to see. See, you look at the game as the Patriots are playing and they win or lose. I look at guys like Andre Carter, Stephen Ridley, Shane Vereen, Albert Haynesworth, Chad Ochocinco, guys who could potentially be factors in the future of our team. You look at the player, you don't look at what's done. You look at the plays that they make, you don't look at the final score. Because, truthfully, it means nothing. I saw that Andre Carter could decimate an offensive lineman. Especially Penn, the lineman for Tampa Bay, he made him look horrid. I saw Albert Haynesworth disrupt things to cause a bad throw that caused us to get the ball and bring it down to the 1 yard line to eventually score.
Yep.
I saw Ocho Cinco needs to work a little bit more with Brady.
Yeah.
And his receiving. I saw Vereen and Steven Ridley could potentially be great backs in the future and help out our team this year. This is what I noticed. I noticed where our offensive line could use some work and what players could actually potentially help.
Okay.
See, I don't know if it's the fact that myself as a player, I look at the game differently, but preseason means nothing. You do realize back when we've actually won championships before, we actually didn't win any preseason games?
Yep.
So these mean nothing.
Right, like that. That's actually a good point, considering the fact that one season was that record-breaking, winning all the games in the regular season, mm-hmm. even though we wound up losing.
What, 18 and, well, we're 18-1?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So, I mean, preseason means nothing. You look at the players, and that's all they do. They look at what the way the player plays their position, if they could follow their blocking assignment, and what they could do for this team. There's guys that are on the bubble who I think could potentially make this team, but unfortunately, due to the way that we're running our defense, guy, great players like, I'm going to say his name, Dane Fletcher.
Dane Fletcher?
He's a linebacker. Good player. Could potentially help us. But it's one of those, there might not just be a spot.
Right.
You can carry that extra offensive lineman. Defensive lineman.
No. Too much extra weight?
Well, no, you can only carry 53 men on the roster.
Well, that's what I meant.
So if you're carrying that extra defensive lineman to run a 4-3, you don't have that extra room for the linebacker.
Okay.
So it depends. I definitely think the team looked good. Brady looked solid. I saw what I needed to see.
Okay.
I give the Patriots a thumbs up on the way they're coming into this.
Okay.
So don't look at the final scores. Look at what you need to know.
All right.
Because I'm going to put it like this. Tom Brady threw 8 passes this week.
Yep.
Connected on 5 of them for 116 yards. The quarterback for the starting quarterback for the other team threw 15 passes, connected for 12. Seems like he connected with a lot more, right?
Right.
Same exact amount of yards as Brady threw.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It showed me what I needed to see.
Okay. So, should we talk about the Red Sox then for some,
Sox are on a skid right now. They've lost 3 out of the last 4, and they've lost a hold of the division, which the Yankees are now half a game up in. It happens. It's baseball. It's September. But we do see the Yankees again, so.
Okay.
I'm not too nervous. We'll find ourselves. I think Miller just had a bad outing. It happens. Everybody has him. He's a young kid. I'm not going to hold too much on it.
It was just terrible with the Rangers Friday night, going 10-0. They basically threw out every pitcher. They even put Tim Wakefield in as a reliever.
It happens. Don't worry about it. He's a young kid. He'll be fine.
No.
Okay. Anything else in baseball in general?
Nothing huge. I mean, the Dodgers got made an offer to buy out the team. I think the person offered way too much money, but that's my opinion.
Well, the Dodgers are basically just want to get rid of whoever it is that's running it right now because they're in such a...
Frank McCourt, but that's because of the divorce case and stuff like that, but they offered $1.2
billion.
That's way too much for the team.
What?
Yeah.
I would have given them 25 cents.
Yeah, I think B3 should make an offer of $5?
$5 sounds good.
And then we can bring him back to we can bring him to Boston, bring back the a Boston Braves National League team. We can't call it the Boston Braves, of course, but
I don't know. I think we should move him to New York.
Brooklyn Dodgers?
That's right. Bring back the Brooklyn Dodgers. Rise up, Jackie Robinson, and get baseball back.
Yeah.
We all know that neither part will ever happen.
No.
We'll never have Jackie Robinson again, and B3 will never own the Dodgers.
We could own a baseball team in the future. Who knows?
Yeah, but not the Dodgers. I don't want the Dodgers.
Which one do you want?
I want a cool team.
Like the Red Sox.
Yes. Or San Diego. They got the camouflaged uniforms. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They suck, though.
Yes, they do. Especially or otherwise the Giants, dude. That's a pretty good team right now.
Yeah. With Tim the Freak Lincecum. Yeah.
Yeah. So talk about these people that we all got right to meet up with today.
There we go. Earlier today, the three of us took a trip to visit with our new friends over at Team Predalsa Ray.
Predalsa Ray.
Predalsa Ray.
Really?
Yes, really.
And it's become a singing show.
It's always been a singing show in some cases.
Watch out, they might kick your ass.
They will kick your ass.
They will.
Including the little girl, she'll get you. Mm-hmm. I saw those massive kicks.
Yeah, those kicks were pretty nasty. She got some kick to her. That was pretty awesome.
Alright, no, all joking aside though, we went down to visit with the people at Team Predalsa Ray today, and they let us sit in and watch them practice a little bit.
Which they rarely do.
They
which
do really
we,
good.
Which was we are so honored that we were able to be there and witness what was going on with the training of the guys. It was impressive. They have like a no joke thing right there. They were doing some serious cross training, and it was amazing. It was just awesome.
I mean, we're not going to give you too much on what they were doing.
No, we can't.
You know, truthfully, like I said, before, myself as a fighter, I do respect, everything that's being done. And where they have a huge event coming up, definitely don't want to give out anything, because this is a great gym, great coaches.
And it's in our hometown now. Like, we actually have a hometown place. I mean, there are a couple places over in, PBD, Salem,
yeah,
Beverly,
all
that other
right
stuff.
Here in Lynn.
This is right here in our hometown, Lynn and whatnot. I know we're Boston Bastard Brigade, but we're close enough. We're a stone throw away from Boston.
So we're 15 miles out.
Yeah, so it's not a big deal. It's one of those things where it's just what happened.
Yep.
But for the most part, we're just glad that we actually finally have a gym that's in our actual home turf. So if we're able to, we're going to be able to see if we can get over there and start, getting our workout on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, you walk in, there's punching bags everywhere.
What was that weird one? It was like, it looked like a half punching bag. It was on all the way down.
Near us?
Yeah, near us.
That's a teardrop.
Teardrop, yeah.
I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I love them. But what winds up happening is, you have your different things set up. They have a, quarter cage in the corner. They have, their titles hanging up. They've won 4 championships. Mm-hmm. I got to say congratulations on that one. Their fighters are going through their motions. We got met by the team manager who spoke with us for a little while. The crew came over and talked to us. We had a chance to actually speak to the fighters for a few minutes, and we'll actually be going back to sit down with them, so you'll actually be able to watch the interviews really soon.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what I'm going to tell you right now is Friday, September 16th, the Perfect Storm at Wonderland Ballroom. They're going to have a bunch of fighters fighting, so go down and check them out, Team Predalsa Ray.
Yep.
Have a great time, and truthfully, some of their fighters, I wouldn't be surprised in the years to come to see them on TV fighting for UFC, Strikeforce, or Bellator.
All right.
Now,
and that's not even a tall order, because they're proving it.
They are.
Yeah.
One of their really big kids, Ricardo, he's an AMI, he's 19. And I just watching him, I can see he's destined for greatness.
Now, granted, he can't compete until he's 21.
He can't go professional until 21.
He's been able to do a lot of amateur stuff, and that kid was pretty impressive.
And he actually holds 2 titles.
Yeah, he's got 2 titles under his belt, and he's got the experience points that's what he needs to get the ball rolling and whatnot, and then prove to, to get up to the professional leagues of, like, UFC or whatever else company that he can get into. It's just one of those things. Well, maybe even Strikeforce, but that's basically under UFC's umbrella now. So.
But I'm going to put it like this. If you want to see great fighting, check out Team Predalsa Ray. They're on Facebook. Go show them a little bit of love. And I know we'll definitely be working with them a lot in the future on other projects, because I had a great time meeting them. Everybody's great down there, and I know when I finally get myself ready to fight again, you'll see me fighting for them.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
I think it's about it for today.
It is.
We can put a nail in this.
Sometimes we've got short shows, sometimes we've got really long shows. This is one of those short episodes.
Well, let me throw the one more punch. September 10th, Plymouth Memorial Hall, Cage Titans, come show your support there as well. Our friends Eddie Lee and Jimmy Davidson are both fighting. Come on down.
Bingo.
Okay, so that about wraps it up for this episode of Boston Bash Brigade. I almost called it No Borders, No Race.
Wow.
That would have been bad.
Well, bringing up No Borders, No Race, we're talking about Sissy Mamire, it made me think back to when we were at the radio station.
Yeah, that's true.
So that about wraps up this episode of Boston Bash Brigade. Remember, visit our website at bostonbashbrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you've got any comments, questions, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Anvil's on at anvil63. And we're still trying to cattle prod Blue on a character.
Still not going to do it. Not going to do it.
I think Pandalicious could talk you into it.
No, she couldn't.
I have a way of getting him to do it. It's okay.
All right.
Wait, what?
Yep.
We won't tell you.
Anyways, we're also on Facebook, so you just have to type in Boston Bass Brigade, and probably by the time you get to Bastard, you should be already able to find both of our little things, where we have the magazine part, where you can like us, and then also the main group part, where you can love us.
Yes.
So you can ask the questions through there, too, and it just makes it all the better. I think that's more or less our direct line right now to contact us, besides our email address, so go and check it out there, and we're constantly trying to put up things, whatever comes to mind, to whatever articles we wrote, or whatever videos we find funny, or music that we like.
Yes.
So, I think that's what we're going to start doing.
Yep.
Just taking music videos that we love, and just putting it on there now.
Putting them on the group page?
Yeah!
Okay.
All right, check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. Also check out our friends at Geekagro, The Issues Guy, JC Sargent, The Vagabonds, Gamer Reaction, Cage Titans at CageTitanFC.com, Richo Photography,
Rachel Moore.
Rachel Moore.
SFX360.
I'm sorry if I'm forgetting people. Unfortunately, they gave me the entire, you know, 9-page list to go over.
We need to really update the intro, by the way.
Matt the Wad.
Yeah!
And Team Padalso Ray.
Padalso Ray.
Yes, he's holding the picture if you're watching the webcam version.
Is it good? Can you look at the camera?
Lower it.
Lower. Lower.
Yeah, there we go.
There
you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. The perfect storm. Show two adults away some love.
Yep. That's one
way. Got a cramp.
Yeah, I got
it. So.
Time for barbecue.
Yeah. Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Alcohol. I mean, Anvil.
Take a sign, our bitches.
We are the bastards. Sorry, I'm a motherfucker. Yeah, so you're
stop recording.